The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwhitewallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwhitewallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast. Welcome into the Financial Freedom Roundtable, where each week we break down complex financial topics so that you can more easily understand them and, more importantly, take action on your path to becoming financially free. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Grateful to have you in the room. I'm Russ Morgan. They call me the idea guy. Mostly because lack of follow-through guy just didn't sound so cool to me. But enough about me for a moment. Let me introduce you to my co-host, my partner. He's the Italian Stallion. He's got the license plate cover to prove it. Mr. Joe Murray. Stallion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Russ. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Bro, today we're going to break down the internet's best ideas around taxes. I have scanned the internet for us, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have found 14 different strategies that the internet gurus out there say you should be doing in order to reduce your taxes. All right. So we're going to play a game called Good Advice, Bad Advice. You may have seen this on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. We're going to take a little spin off of that. There's a saying, I don't know if you guys have heard this. And by the way, I'm going to offend somebody today in lots of areas. So if I offend you here, I'm so sorry. This is my apology in advance. I know it doesn't take it away, but have you guys ever heard the saying that there's those who can play, there's those who can't play, coach, and if you can't coach, you coach PE? Is that something you've ever heard, Stallion?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It does sound familiar.
Well, by the way, a friend of mine who's a PE coach, he's the one that told me that. And I was like, I like that, right? Well, I think the same's true in the finance game, right? There's people that play the finance game at a super high level. And now there's a small number of those, but then there's this next tier of people who master the craft, who become very financially successful, and we get a chance to meet a lot of them and talk to them, and we get to kind of see what they're doing with their money, see what they're doing with taxes. And I'm going to apply as many of these ideas as possible, but I also just know that we also run across the PE coaches in the financial space, right? That are just regurgitating financial and tax advice that frankly may be not good advice. So as we break down this today, maybe you've heard some of these PE coaches in the past and maybe you followed them. Don't be offended if you didn't know that that was a bad idea. You know, if you were following the latest 24-year-old accountant who, you know, read an article by another 24-year-old accountant 2 years before that and is giving you the same advice, you probably know where it's coming from. But Stallion, we got to bring in a dream team of financial coaches.
Please.
Yes. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a fun topic. So first, let me get over to my left. Mr. Incredible, his superpower is speed to financial freedom. And the real beauty is that speed is contagious. My man, Mr. JD Hill. Say hello to your fans, JD.
Hey, Mom. Hey, fans. Oh, man, I am so glad to be here. I feel like I haven't been here in a while on the podcast. So if you've missed me, I've missed you. The feeling is mutual. And if you haven't, the feeling is mutual.
By the way, that Joker, JD cannot stop smiling when you do his intro.
I love it.
If that's you haven't favorite. Seen it on YouTube, you need to get on the YouTube.
It warms my heart every Thursday. I'm like, man, come on, where's my intro at?
Hey, so today we're breaking down tax strategies. Why you feel like this is so important for us to cover, my man?
It was really hard for me to focus. I'm going to be very raw with everyone right now. My dog just pooped right here to my left. And he's a puppy. And so I'm looking over here. My son took him downstairs and I got really distracted. I have no idea what Joey just said, but I needed to be honest before I, you know, probably repeat what he says. It's a mess over here right now. Yeah.
Can I just give you the answer here?
Yes.
This is so important because there is dog poo around you at all times.
The information you're getting
advice.
Is like this poop to my left.
Do not step in it.
Yeah, it's okay. Bad. It stinks.
It stinks. It's there. Do not step in it. That's why we have to do this podcast.
And can I just say, I used to listen to it, and I used to also be the person that was giving this advice as well. So I was not only a user, I was a dealer of this nonsense that's being espoused in the internet or perpetrated, you know, whatever the words are. You know, I'm not from Alabama, but I feel like it right now.
Yeah. Well, I got you. Well, here's the thing is we have a saying around here that financial advice is garbage and should be treated as such. And, you know, some people say garbage. Some people say other bad words. I'm assuming the word next to you is probably what some may fill in. But let's move on because, man, we got a brand new person to the podcast today. Get ready to ignite your path to financial freedom as we bring on. He's an Okie from Muskogee. His financial insights are as smooth as his latte, Mr. Chad Arnold. Welcome, Chad.
Hey, glad to be here. I am from Mustang, by the way. Just want to clarify that.
Right. Well, I knew you had like a buffalo above you. I don't know if you were riding the Mustang to kill that thing or not, but let's talk about your financial insights, man, because obviously you have a background. You and your wife own a number of coffee franchises. You have been in the financial space for a long, long time in different ways. Talk a little bit about tax strategy. Why do you think it's important for us to cover today?
Yeah, I think it's super important. For a lot of people, it's our largest expense. Mm. And so it's easy to scroll Instagram and see the next big thing to write off. And then when you do it and you don't document it, you can get audited. And that's what I'm going through right now. So there might be a pattern to some of my answers today. So I might say you should probably do an over-under on document.
That's good. Well, you know, there's an old saying, some of us got the bad haircut and you're going through it right now. It sounds like, well, if you're interested in going through 14 different tax strategies and ideas that the internet gurus have given us and letting us talk about good advice, bad advice around those, that's what we're going to do right now. Let's jump in.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Max out your retirement contributions.
This is a tax strategy, Russ?
Yeah, good advice if you never want to be financially free.
Bad advice if
you want to be financially free.
Yeah, tell me more.
This is, you know, what I would tell my enemy to do. Like, definitely max out your retirement plan. Put as much as you can into your 401k. Get your match. And call me when you're, you know, 70 and you're still broke. So I think if we have to first understand what is the formula to be financially free, right? And the formula to become financially free is passive income greater than monthly expenses. Mm. And what I love about the formula is that it's so simple. Once you just write it down, so FF equals PI greater than ME, monthly expenses. Once you understand that, put it on paper, then all you have to do is every time a dollar comes into your world, you can essentially do one or two things with it. You can either A, increase passive income, or B, you can decrease monthly expenses. So the question that I'll ask you is, if you think about it, Russ, when you put a dollar into your 401k, does that reduce your monthly expenses today?
No.
No. Chad, when you put a dollar into your 401k, does it create any passive income today?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. So then maxing out your 401k contributions is getting you further away from financial freedom and not any closer to financial freedom.
But it's a tax strategy, bro. Like, this is a tax play. No, don't you see the tax play?
Listen, all you're doing is kicking the tax can down the road. Because here's the deal. In order for this to actually work, you have to retire poorer than you are today. And this is literally how this works. So imagine for a moment. Think about it for a second. If all things were equal, okay, all things being equal, taxes stay the same, your income stays the same. In order for you to be in a lower tax bracket in the future, what has to happen to your income? It has to go down, which means you have to retire poorer than you are today. Is that what you want for retirement? Is your goal in retirement smaller, right? Or is it abundance? What is your goal for retirement? This is not a tax play. This is a
a thing that, you know, 401k plan sponsors are selling people so that they can make fees. It's awful.
Well, I mean, this is making Joey so hungry that he's eating on camera just so that way you can just prove to you, like, this is belly aching to him. He's That's like, right. Stomach was growling.
Bro, we set belly up earlier and I just got hungry. I at least muted myself, you know?
But here's the key, though. Like, there is a, you mentioned that your income has to go down. I don't even think it has to be that, because there's tax brackets involved and we don't get to control those brackets, and they can change
That's right.
the brackets. So there's a lot of things there, I think, wrong with this strategy. It takes a lot of hope in what will happen in the future in relationship to how our government will need money or less money or whatever. So I'm not seeing this as a tax strategy. So as soon as Joey ate, I'm asking him the next question. All right. Here's the second question of the day here. Fund a 529 plan for your children, Joey. Hmm. Good advice if
you are a fortune teller with children.
Bad advice if
you like freedom and you see opportunities you want to take advantage of.
All right. Tell me more.
All right. So I'm just going to give a personal example here. My kids were 3 and 1 is when I got introduced to this idea of infinite banking. And the whole idea, the reason why it resonated with me was because I was in the process of trying to solve for this idea of saving for my kids' college. And so I started looking into the different vehicles that are there, right? And I'm like, well, this 529 plan, let me look at that. Let me look at this. What do I like about it? It's specifically for saving for college. Oh, so in my brain, oh, there's a specific thing I'm saving for. This must be the best vehicle. Then I realized, wait a minute, I can't use this money for anything but education purposes. So what if my kids don't go to college? I don't know. They're 3 and 1. Do I have any clue if they're really going to want to go? And number two, it had to be invested in the market. Now, that doesn't may not sound super scary, except it was 2009 when I was researching this. We had just been through one of the greatest financial meltdowns in history, and it just happened to be in the last, 12 to 18 months. So the idea of putting money in that was supposedly savings that was actually going to be invested in something that I couldn't control and didn't understand was like, this is, as JD would say, this is dog water. I am not in on the 529 plan. And, what's really been interesting to me about this is I'm now old enough where my oldest is a senior and my second oldest is a sophomore up in high school. Neither of them have chosen to go to college. Instead, because we did infinite banking instead of a 529 plan, we've been able to use those funds to help my oldest start a land flipping business and my second oldest to buy a content website. These are strategies that are actually putting cash flow into their pockets today and give them a path forward that did not require a degree. And right. So I'm just telling you, it's dog water.
Dog water. All right, moving on. We got so many to get through here. We got to keep this ball rolling here. All right, Chad, you're up.
All right.
Next guru quotation I found off the internet was buy yourself a new car. I mean, it's almost like the Price is Right. You found a new car. Good advice if
you actually need a new car and you document it and you consult with your CPA.
Okay. Bad advice if
you can't afford tires and maintenance on that new European car and all those payments.
Mm.
And you maybe have to pay some depreciation recapture, but nobody ever talks about that when they talk about riding off a car.
Yeah, because we hear the Section 179 deduction. I get to buy it toward the end of the year, right?
Yep. And I have a firsthand experience from this.
Okay.
I bought a car end of 21, like in December, and it's over 6,000 pounds. I wrote the whole thing off, and I'm in the middle of an audit right now. And the auditor basically, without telling me point blank, that's what triggered the audit. So... So I was excited that I bought.
Hello. Right. So bad advice if you're not prepared to go through an audit.
Exactly. Oh.
So you're saying riding off my wife's minivan may have put me on the IRS's.
Well, I don't know if the minivan will get the attention of the auditor. No offense.
All right. they say if they need that bad, let's just let them have it.
Just let them have it.
That's right.
Just for instance, what kind of car were we writing off, Chad?
It was a G-Wagon.
Come on.
Okay. Hey.
And he asked me, he's like, do you really need this for what you're doing? You know, so it's not like you have to document it. But like, that's what I was getting at. On Instagram, people say, like, hey, go buy, they talk about G-Wagons. Go buy a G-Wagon. Well, can you afford the new tires you need every 12 months? G-Wagons are expensive to maintain. They get to 11 miles per gallon.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey,
but like, what a dumb question for an IRS agent.
Yeah.
Do you really need this car?
I know.
Like, is that really what the IRS code requires, is that it's a need?
Here's the deal, Joey. You and I want to answer one way, but I'm stuck with this guy for the next 6 months. So you can't you can't say everything.
Ordinary and necessary is the criteria, right?
I should have hit him with the Chris Voss. You must be asking that for a reason.
Exactly. All right, I got to keep the ball going here.
All right
so I'll take one here. Hey, Russ, what are you thinking about this? This
guy? Yeah, ask yourself on this dude.
Let me ask you, Russ. Let me ask you. Take advantage.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me do this for you. I got you. Okay. You ready? All right. Taking advantage of vehicles for future tax-free income. Mm-hmm. Roth IRA conversions versus whole life policies.
Mm. Well,
good advice if...
Good advice if I'm implementing the infinite banking concept through dividend-paying whole life insurance.
Bad advice if...
If I'm doing a Roth conversion like a 23-year-old accountant told me to. So here's the key, is that when you go on the internet, what you see is you don't see that last part. You just see the tax advantages of vehicles for future tax-free income, right? Like, there is the tagline. There is the tell me more, right? And then, you know, when junior accountant, right, he just got his deputy badge from, you know, Boy Scouts, and then he also qualified for his master's degree in accounting, is now on the internet giving advice, telling people the best thing you could do to save taxes is start converting all your 401ks, IRAs, old into Roth IRAs. Because what you're going to do is you're going to save in retirement with all this tax-free income without even considering all the implications of what happens. One, we're mentally pushing the investment opportunities that we have into the future, right? We're just saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. You see that is a common trait that people would be like, oh, I'm just going to postpone it. You said that earlier on the retirement contributions, JD. I'd see the same thing. It's like, hey, we'll just convert these Roth IRAs. Well, what's good? Tax-free income is good if we can actually keep access to the money. It's bad if we can't, because ultimately you're going to lock it up for the next 5 years. You're not going to have access to the money. You can't do all the stuff. So, Chad, I know you guys have all these coffee franchises. If you take money, you put in your Roth IRA, you can't invest it into your coffee franchise. You can't have self-dealing. JD, you can't use the money to do in your LandX fund, right? Because you're an active manager in the fund. You can't do that. Joey, you can't go buy any more websites. Now, that may be a good thing for you because you have trouble with websites, right? So that may be a good strategy that you don't do that. This actually is a good idea. This is good advice if you're Joey trying to buy another unicorn site. But for everybody else who figured out how to make money doing the thing that they are involved in, this is a bad strategy. All right, moving on. All right, Joey. Next great idea I've seen on the internet. Quotations, contribute to a health savings account. Good advice if...
Well, if you spend the same amount or less than you save in your plan annually, and I'll also add you love restrictions and hope to retire with really bad health. I mean, that's just a caveat. Bad advice.
Yeah, bad advice if
you're a 24-year-old fitness trainer looking to be financially free in the next 10 years.
Okay. Do you have a reason for saying that? Tell me more.
Well, this is so funny. I'm sitting there as I was on the bike this morning, I was watching a couple of YouTube videos of these PE coaches, as you call them. And my trainer walks up. He's like, what are you looking at? Whatever. And so I was like, what do you know about HSAs? He's like, I don't know anything about that. So it's a health savings account. And he's like, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, this is what the story is, right? You can put money away tax-free and be able to use it for health-related activities like medical costs and so on and so forth, and not have to pay tax on. He's like, okay. I said, I bet you have a lot of those that you have to, you know, take advantage of. And he's like, I never go to the doctor. I'm like, exactly. You're 24 years old and you're a personal trainer. Like, you're in tip-top shape. So the idea is, as I unfolded this for, I'll save you the whole conversation, but the idea is, man, this guy doesn't want to end up being caught up in the rat race for the next 40-something years where people are saying this is a good strategy for. This is a retirement strategy that happens to have a tax benefit on the front end. It's the same conversation we had about the Roth IRAs and all this sort of thing. It is constantly tying up your money in a place that if I don't spend every dollar of it on medical expenses, I'm literally just locking up more money. And they're saying it's to my benefit. Those are the things that, if anything, Tribe, as we're going through all these, is identify the messaging that is behind the product or behind the strategy. It is always so that Wall Street can hold on to your money.
Always?
Always. Almost always. But it's never for the same reasons that they say this. So anyway, that was my 2 cents on that.
All right. That was 14 cents, but we'll let you have it. All right, JD, next.
Three.
next thing on the list here of great internet guru ideas of ways to save taxes. All the taxes are going to be saved. Next one on the list, what I got here? Buy investment property. Good advice if
you actually plan on being a real estate investor.
Okay. Bad advice if
you don't know anything about real estate. I'm an active real estate investor myself, right? I love real estate, but I can't tell you how many times I have seen jokers want to buy houses because somebody else that's a real estate investor or some CPA said, hey, you need a deduction, so go buy a piece of real estate. And they buy a piece of real estate not knowing anything about long-term rentals, not knowing anything about like the process and what that means. And they end up with having to repair a brand new AC unit. They got a leak in the roof. They got a vacancy. Somebody's not paying rent. Like, it comes with more headaches than they were anticipating. They end up actually losing money than what they actually would have saved in taxes. Like, it doesn't work. So when you, from my perspective, I think you don't want to let the tax tail wag the dog. And this is one of those instances where people oftentimes let the tax tail wag the dog and they don't know what they're getting into when they buy a piece of real estate solely for the depreciation. You don't just get depreciation. You also get a tenant and you get an asset that now you have to manage and control and figure out how you're going to be profitable.
So it's kind of like Chad was saying about buying the G-Wagon, right?
That's right.
You got some maintenance coming your way. You got to be prepared for it.
That's right.
Okay.
How'd I do on time? Was that good?
Yeah, that's so good. So good.
All right, Russ, I got one for you.
Okay.
All right. So I've been hearing this on the interwebs, as you mentioned. How do you maximize the QBI deduction? And I know I'm asking a redneck, so you're going to have to break this down a little bit.
Would you help me understand? What does QBI stand for?
Yeah, you know, that's what I was asking you. Keep going.
All right, so this is good advice if, right? I mean, by the way, I love tax deductions, man. I love all tax deductions. I think it's good advice. If I can utilize it, my accountants say I can utilize it, man, let me do it. Bad advice. Okay, so how would maximizing the QBI deduction be bad? Now, I'm just going to regurgitate some things I've heard some of our tax strategists share with us. Bad advice if your income is too high and your salary is too low. Now, listen to that right now. There's an insight for us. As self-employed business owners, what have we been taught as far as what percentage of our money, right? Most of us run pass-through entities. What percentage of our money do we want to have in a salary as compared to a distribution?
Do we want our salary to be high or salaries to be low, guys?
Low,
right? Right. We're trying to save on all of those FICA taxes and everything that happens. And so we try to get it as low as the IRS would say, okay, we'd be okay with that. Otherwise, they come and spend 6 months with you like they are with Chad right now, right? They start digging into things.
Yes.
But also that can go the opposite way as it relates to this QBI rule. So I've been doing a little research here. You guys going to be proud of me for that. I can read and I can find out this stuff. There's this 2-7 rule. Now, I grew up on the, what was it, like 247? What was the show on the WB?
Are you speaking English right now?
Yeah.
247. What did you just say?
Rush, you're significantly older than us.
227 is what another one of our age panelists just said. 227.
227. Okay. I knew there was a show on the WB back in the day.
I'm just
something.
Teasing Jonathan. I love
but this is the 2-7 rule. So here's what you do. You want your base salary, your W-2 salary to represent the two of the seven, so 28% and some change of your overall income. This is how the rule runs. Let me break it down for you. So let's just pretend out there, man, you got a client you're working with, a friend, yourself, you make $800,000. And you're paying yourself a reasonable salary of $90,000 a year, right? You with me, Chad?
Yep.
And this QBI rules, all these different rules say, well, you can take 20% of your qualified business income deduction, right? And there's thresholds to that, or 50% of your total wages, whichever is less. Well, I mean, we could sit here and do the math real quickly and realize that if your base salary is 90 grand, that's going to be the lesser of the two numbers. So your deduction would be limited, assuming you qualified and all this stuff, to only half of the $90,000. So you're only going to be able to take $45,000 out. As compared to if you were following that 2-7 rule, if you made $800,000, you took that 2 into the 7 and multiplied it at that rate of $800,000, you could take a deduction of $228,000, or your base income would be $228,571. I think that's the math. So 50% of that, Stallion, is 114 and some change. So if we're trying to look for deductions, we're trying to max it out. Well, this is one of those times where if my base salary was so low, like in this guy's scenario, making $800,000 and had a $90,000 base, that he would be his ability to deduct it would be reduced significantly because he had a salary too low. Now, you have to offset, see what the FICA tax on that higher salary would be compared to what you're getting the deduction off of. But this may be a conversation that you want to have with your accountant to say, hey, have we considered this? And what most people get into this, they start to realize, hey, there's a little more to this than I thought of.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we are able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before. Go to whatswhatwallstreet.com/PIOS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pop quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
Let's move on.
That was brilliantly explained, Russ. Great job.
Yes, the QBO was a cluster. That's right. Yeah. All right, Chad. Chad, coming back to you. All right, so the next one, I'm sitting here looking at the internet. It says, man, don't worry about those receipts. Don't keep your receipts. Receipts are for the birds.
All right.
Hey, good advice if?
Good advice, according to my boy Lloyd, if it's $75 or less on meals and fuel, don't need it. But you do still have to document the purpose.
Okay. Bad advice if
you ever get audited.
You must say that for a reason.
I do. I bought a car for Turo like in 21, and I know that receipt is somewhere, but I cannot find it. And I've called the finance department because IRS agent's asking for it. I've called the finance department of that car dealership so much, and they haven't called me back yet. I told Lloyd that I was going to call them and act like I was buying another car just so I could get back to the finance office.
So you literally need the receipt for the car.
Yeah.
Like an entire car.
So that, I put the deposit. You know, I bought it from Texas, and I put the deposit on my credit card, and I didn't think anything of it. And then the Uncle Sam came knocking. So
Uncle Sugar. We say Uncle Sugar right here.
That seems like, you know, the Dumb and Dumber when they were saying, hey, this is an IOU. That's for a Lamborghini. You might want to hold on to that one.
Yeah.
They should have told you about that whenever they handed it to you for the G-Wagon. Hey, this is a G-Wagon. You might want to
hold on. I kept that receipt. We're good.
All right, Joey. Let's move on. I'm scrolling down the list of my great ways. Remember, these are ways to save taxes per the internet. This is where all this is coming from. Ways to save taxes: invest in tax efficient index mutual funds and ETFs.
Mm.
Good advice if
you hate cash flow and financial freedom.
I still see the good advice there, but bad advice if...
if you want to take control of your finances and bet on yourself. And by the way, it's not an ETF, or excuse me, an EFT, which is when in this online garbage that we were reading, right? They literally misspelled ETF. How do you misspell ETF?
Because it is an electronic funds transfer away from you to someone else.
It was more accurate than we do.
Good point. That's right.
But they said the solid part out loud.
Let me clarify this for just a second. Whenever the internet is telling you that it is a tax-efficient index mutual fund, all that really means when you search below it, it says, how do I know that my index mutual fund is tax-efficient? It says, those whose investment goals are geared toward growing wealth rather than generating regular income, investing in funds without dividend-bearing stocks or coupon-bearing bonds is tax-efficient and a smart move. Not to mention, the whole point behind it is it's just not actively being traded, right? There's no stocks being bought and sold. It's literally just mirroring an index.
What could go wrong?
Well, this is the analogy in my brain. And correct me, I mean, I'd love for you to correct me on this, Russ, because I know that's your pastime. It's like babysitting, right? I can hire a literal babysitter to come in, sit with my kids, play with them, take care of them. Or I can turn the TV on and put my kids in front of a TV and call that babysit. And it's much cheaper, brother, to do that. That's what I get the picture of, is they're like, hey, this one's more tax efficient. It's cheaper because nobody's actually managing it. Nobody's actually at the wheel. They're just like,
you know that actively traded funds underperform passively traded mutual exchanges, you know, right? Like, we've all been told, like, these active managers, they're not beating the market. Why would you want to be with an active manager anyway?
Dude, can I just go off script here for just a second?
Immediately, no.
Is there a script?
There is no script. If you literally hear those words being said, I want you to tell, like, again, zoom out and look behind the words. One, Wall Street is telling you, you don't need to actively manage your money, right? You need to give it over to Wall Street. We're your big, rich uncle. We can take care of your money better than you. And then simultaneously, they're saying, and by the way, we're not going to manage it either. Literally, nobody is managing your money. It is just, it's just like an index. That's all we're going to do. We're going to make it look like that, hands off, and yet we're going to collect funds the whole time. Like, let's stop the nonsense.
All right. Let's move on.
I got one, Rep.
Yes, sir.
All right. I read on the interwebs, I think this one's for you, Russ.
Okay.
That it's a tax strategy is to put your kids on payroll.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Right.
So would that be good advice if?
Well, good advice if they're working for your business and paying for all of their own expenses. That's good advice, I think.
Okay. And bad advice if?
I guess maybe if they're 35 and they're sleeping on your downstairs couch.
You're not doing a whole lot. I see that as bad advice, just keeping kids on payroll for that, right? Give them enough money so they can do anything, but not too much, where they'll do it. Nothing, right? I think that's what Warren Buffett said, maybe. Currently, I'm paying my kids for various different things, right? I've got them doing projects for the business, doing marketing things, coming up with ideas. I paid Ryan today $2 to do a cold plunge with me. Like, I'm coming up with ideas, but at the same time, now I'm handing over the responsibility for them to start paying for their own expenses, right? Like, they're now Ryan's coming to me saying, hey, I like the idea of this Lego. Can you look up how much it costs? I said it's $85. So he's thinking, okay, well, how much money do I need to make over here? I put this amount away for savings, this amount of money for giving, and then I can have my Lego. That's cool. Well, he used to come up and say, Dad, when can we get that Lego? Right? Like, the responsibility is on me. Now it's on him. And
a lot of cold plunges, by the way, Ron.
It's $2 a pop. But I see the value of $2. And I see the value of him being, you know, having the ability to control his body in there. Like, that's what my brain was thinking. Like, why would you pay your kid $2 to do that? Well, one, you have to overcome your fear, right? Doing hard things. That's there's a point for that in life. But also, just the way he had to control his breathing. Like, when you get that cold water, you have to control your breathing. Well, think about that. Like, there's going to be times where you have to control your anger. You're going to have to control your emotions. You have to control your mind whenever it's wanting to wander around and check the, you know, Facebook, whatever you're supposed to be on the podcast. All these things, you got to have that approach. So I see value. And for those of you who don't know, you can go look and talk to your accountant. But mine's told me you can pay your kids up to $13,850. I think that was last year. I don't know what the new rules are going to be for 2024, and then be able to get that without having to pay a dollar in federal income tax. So there may be some state tax depending on what state you're in. But like, there's a real opportunity for putting them on payroll. And now they're paying for their own expenses, the things that normally I was paying for. A lot of value there, I think, if done correctly. All right. Thank you, Chad. What a great question there. All right. Let me move over to you, JD. Mike, I'm meeting here.
Yeah, ask me anything.
All right, from the list of great ideas from the internet, ways to save taxes, maximize your tax benefit by renting out your house. Good advice if
you know what you're doing.
Okay, so you say maybe you need some good documentation, good advisors there.
That's right.
Okay, bad advice if
you heard this on TikTok. I it's interesting because I've actually heard this a number of times on Instagram and TikTok, people talking about the Augusta rule, but they say it all wrong. Like, it's awful. Like, not at all how my tax attorney and CPA have at all shared with me or the people that we've had on our show or that we've talked to. I mean, and I love this strategy because I personally implemented this. I write off over $40,000 a year on this strategy. Meaning I take $40,000 of what will be ordinarily taxable income and I turn it into $40,000 of tax-free income. This has been, I mean, I love this thing. My wife loves it too because she gets to go on nice vacations now, right? And so the problem though is people don't fully understand how this works, meaning you need to make sure you keep receipts, that you document your meetings, right? That you have rental invoices and that you know who was there, what did you discuss, like that there was a... The other thing, too, that I think is interesting that I've heard a number of people communicate is go to Airbnb, see what other houses are renting in the area, and use that as the number to rent your house out. And I'm like, what? That is awful, awful advice. If I did that, I'd only get like $250 a day to rent my house. But I got an appraisal done, and I'm able to write off $2,900 a day that I rent my house out to myself. And that's a legitimate appraisal. So if I ever get audited by Uncle Sugar that's auditing Chad right now.
He's busy.
Right?
Busy.
He's busy. Thank goodness. Right? I've got a legitimate appraisal from a legitimate licensed appraiser that says, no, this is actually what the value of this is. So you just throw things out there because they heard it one time and say, oh, this is really cool, go do it. And then people just set themselves up for failure.
Chad,
great strategy, by the way. I love this thing.
I think he's basically saying when it comes into your coffee franchise, he doesn't need sugar because he's already got it.
That's it, baby.
He takes it black.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. All right, Chad, I got one from the internet. Ways to save taxes. Never mix business with pleasures. Good advice if
Your pleasure has nothing to do with business.
Okay. Bad advice if?
It's bad advice if you, let's say you're traveling and you got a conference and you consult your CPA and you can document it. Then you can write off the trip.
Okay. Give me an example.
All right. An example would be I went to Vail in 2021 for pleasure, but I put it on my business card and then I got audited and I have no facts of why that was a business trip. Another example would be a good example would be is if I was going to, maybe a mastermind at Dallas here in a couple weeks and I had a conference, it was for work, it was continuing ed, and I kept all my receipts. And then let's say I stayed a day or two extra, I could document it and I could write it off.
That's also what I went to Cancun with the family. I went because I wanted to see a good friend, somebody we've gotten introduced to who was running a mastermind event down there. And big shout out to Craig Ballantyne, if you guys aren't following Greg Ballantyne. And he was teaching lots of different things. One of the strategies I figured out is how to improve our YouTube. And, one of the things is my family got to, ride with me. I don't like to go places without my family. My health, it's diminished. I can show you just through my HRV every single time I travel without them. I have the facts. I have the ability to show, this is a negative impact on me, my ability to be productive as a business owner. So that's necessary for me. And so I took him with me and we hey, the sun was shining when I was down there. Good for us, right? All right, Stallion. We got a couple more. We'll have to wrap this up. Good ways to save on taxes. Always get takeout.
Good advice if you have a way to deduct the cost under the meals for the convenience of the employer. And bonus if you have five daughters who eat like grown men.
You should not say that in front of them because, by the way, but when you talk about girl size, they get upset. I learned that this weekend telling my daughter she needed to use her size in soccer.
Oh, wow.
I was really more talking about her height, but
right.
I used the wrong word. Bad advice to if, Stallion.
Bad advice if you live in the middle of nowhere and there are no restaurants within an hour from you. It really doesn't help you on the takeout treat.
All right, so tell me how this actually works. How can I save in taxes this way?
Well, okay, so first of all, think about meals for the convenience of the employer. First of all, one of the only times the IRS has ever said something in a way that actually makes logical sense. The reason why you can write off a takeout meal is when you are actually continuing your business and it's more convenient for you to grab something out and bring it home that you could continue to work, you can now write that meal off. And I would say, especially as a business owner, it's very constant that at home, at the dinner table, you're catching up all the day. You're talking about, a lot of times, your business because that is your day. And you're even, my wife and I would catch up about strategies and things that we're working on. And so we are continuing the conversation as it relates to business. And it just allows us to not have to fool with the prep, the creation of dinner, the cleanup after the fact. It's a very useful strategy in our household and highly recommend it.
All right. Perfect. Highly recommend it. After talking to your CPA and
proper documentation, 100%.
If you don't get anything out of this, get documentation out of this and make sure that your family is clients and or employees.
Which you can prove, they cannot disprove, right? But it's about those facts, you're in trouble.
That's right. Russ, let me ask you a question. This one was one of my favorites. I love this one. It says, leave the country, buy an island, evade taxes, profit.
Yeah, I actually did find that on the internet that was a tax strategy that this may be on the Reddit. I think this is in a Reddit thread. I found this one.
Reddit got this one right. I'm actually going to follow this one. This one's nice.
Oh man.
So this is good advice if
you're moving to Puerto Rico for the 4% corporate tax rate.
Okay, that's good. It's bad advice if though
you're Tom Hanks in Castaway.
I'm not certain I want it to be that tax free, right? Like, you know, I'm willing to pay for some creature comforts around here. You know, I mean, me and Wilson are just not going to be that close. I'm going to kick that ball straight in the water and follow it probably closely after. All right. So, yeah, I have Joey and I, we've had a lot of people on the podcast, and a handful of them have actually moved and followed the strategy where their businesses were digital businesses, tech businesses, and they literally moved to Puerto Rico. And one of the biggest reasons is that they could then domicile the corporation in Puerto Rico. And there's all these guidelines. I don't pretend to have all the stories, so you could do your own research on this. But what I've looked at is that the business has to be domiciled there, and you have to literally prove that you are in the country more than half the year. And they follow that really closely, right? So they're making sure that you do that. But as far as I can tell, for those people that, you know, who love being in that climate, love, you know, working remotely and, you know, obviously it's a Caribbean environment, they're enjoying a 4% tax rate. It, you know, maybe you don't have all the first world benefits that we have here, right? There's some rolling brownouts there that you have to deal with from time to time. But I guess you got more money to maybe buy your biggest generator and, you know, spend money on, you know, Starlink and all these other things that you can offset that with. So that's my answer to that. Well, this is the end of a long podcast as we broke down 14 different tax strategies of if they are tax strategies or not, we'll see. But we gave you our insights. Hope you had fun as you follow those with us. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, Chad, for jumping on for the first time. And thank you for listening. I hope you had a good time. If you did, please share the episode with others so that we can get more of this content out in your hands. Have an amazing day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.